Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord loves us, and I'm glad He does. He loves us so much. Collectively, individually, in every way, He wants everything in our life to be just like, just as good as His. He said, one part of the Lord's Prayer, He said, let it be on earth. Pray that it's on earth as it is in heaven. And He wants us to have that same super love that Jesus had towards us all. And that's my main goal. That's how light works. When you walk in the light of God's Word, you're receiving from God and you're relaying what God gives you. You're giving what God has given you. You're operating in what God has given you. You're receiving it. You receive His love. We receive His love and we love others. Just like He loves us as a standard. Not just something, you know, sometimes people treat the Word of God as a vehicle just for blessings. Now, blessings is the byproduct, but the whole life of God is a blessing all by itself. You don't, it's life. When I pay tithes, it's not just so I get a blessing. It's so that the things of God can be done. And when you do it with the right attitude, it's worship, then you involve God in your finances. He's going to bless you. You know, that's just a byproduct. But the main reason I tithe is so that the work of God can be done. You know, if people didn't pay tithes, then pastors would have to go and get a job somewhere, and it would, you know, some pastors have to do that. I don't mind it, but you know, when you have several hundred people, and it takes work to help to pastor several hundred people, and that's a job all by itself. Now, pastors do it different. Sometimes people call, and then they set up counseling appointments and things like that. You want pastors to be in place when people need them, because the enemy attacks God's people. There are things people need to know. Ministry goes far beyond just preaching. You know, pastoring is something altogether entirely different. You know, the calling of a pastor and the calling of an evangelist is two different things. It takes commitment. You know, God called me to be an apostle. I didn't know what I was getting into, because I didn't know the job of an apostle. I didn't have a reference for it, which worked out well, because when you don't know what to do, you depend on the Lord for something so important as that. So I take it serious. People don't know that, but when the Lord called me to be an apostle, I took it very serious. I knew I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what to do, but I had the anointing, and all I had to do was obey God, and it works. Now, the Lord has trained me for every phase of ministry in my life. He would train me, and I'd pay attention. Now, that's what we need to do, our due diligence. We need to be diligent in seeking the Lord, receiving a full understanding of what He wants us to do. Now, that takes time. You're being introduced to something you don't know much about. So, but when you depend on the Lord, He'll take you where you got to go, and He'll cause you to do what you need to do, and it works. He cares about every stage of your life, every part. So people can choose to pay attention to Him or traditionalize their ministry or traditionalize their life, or they could choose to hear God out. When I read the book of Acts, they didn't do anything for God until they prayed and got approval and direction. They did not do that. That was so much to be done. And they started all of their works in the prayer room, because they had been trained by Jesus Christ. Now, people that won't pray, and you mean tell me, If a country like Russia and Iran got together and attacked America, and now it's time to go to war, You're motivated to defend your country. Would you try to go to war without training? Or with training? I wouldn't want to go to war without training. You won't last long on the battlefield. These people have been planning for years how to kill you. So you have to have training by people that have been in war. Now, why is it so difficult for people to understand that if you're going to go to a spiritual war and you're not going to take time to pray and get to know the Lord, you're outclassed? You can't think like Satan. You're not designed to think like Satan. You're designed to think like God, which supersedes Satan. With the training, you can supersede Satan. But you can't fight somebody you don't know anything about. You don't know his, if you don't know his wiles, if you don't know his ways. You know, when the enemy would attack my life, I asked the Lord a question so I could learn. I didn't just go rush into things. I sought the Lord in order to do his perfect will. I knew I didn't know what to do. That was a given. I understood that I didn't know what to do. So I sought the Lord. And he told me what to do. And when he first called me to the ministry, you know the story. I talked about it so much. When he gave me my first message, I had never experienced that before. But when he gave me that first message, I said, I got interested. I knew he was with me. Now that's a fact. God is with you to help you. He's not with you to write down all the mistakes you make. He's not with you to make sure you don't sin. He's with you to help you in every way you need him to. It's up to you to ask your questions. My Pentecostal mind in those days, because of my predecessors, I felt like, well, you got to go and pray through first, then God will be with you. No, the word says that he's in us and upon us. He's in us, which means he's with us wherever we go, and his spirit, if you be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's upon you as well. Now, you just got to get to the point where you realize it. Now, I realize it in worship, because God can reveal his presence and conceal his presence. And sometimes when I worshiped him, he would reveal it. And when I first started, I've been going to God's presence since 1980, the end of 83 and 84. I would always going. It was something that I did often. Not every day sometimes, but often. So I would go in his presence. Well, in 1990, he had changed my, many years had gone by. And he was dealing with me about things, but he told me to study 15 chapters a day, making a long story short. I did so, and after about 3 months, one day I went in his presence, and I sensed I knew he was there with me. Discerning of spirits, I knew Jesus was right there standing with me. I said, Jesus, don't go anywhere. I got questions. Now, I could sense his presence. Now, he was with me all the while. But this time he revealed his presence and I knew it. And I asked him my questions and he answered me. So I asked some more questions and he answered me. And now, this is possible. This possibility is up to you. God is willing. He already said through James that if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. So spend time drawing near to God. You don't have to. You have to believe the word. You have to believe what God said. Now, there's a difference between revelation knowledge and just common knowledge. If a person hears what I'm saying and believe me and try to organize their life with common knowledge and do the things of God without revelation knowledge, you're going to have problems. it's going to be harder. You have to receive the revelation of God's word on everything. And the Holy Spirit will help you do so. Now, as the Lord kept answering my questions, my firewall went down. See, the blockade, whenever you believe something, you set up this, you have limitations. That's the firewall. I had to unlearn my limitations as I learned what God was saying, and that's called revelation knowledge. When the Holy Spirit revealed it to you and you can see it clearly, now you can see beyond the firewall that you got established, that you put up. You know, that people, when people live every day, they're doing the best they can. They put forth a lot of effort. But they act like God is far away. That'll become your reality. That's how you'll see God. Parents shape the way we see God is shaped by the first authority figures, which is usually the parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, who, you know, anybody you're around, teachers, whoever you're around a great deal of time. You know, children go to school, it's what, seven hours a day, they're with somebody else shaping their opinions. Now, our society is not really set up for you to homeschool, but you can. But whoever the child is around, they shape the way you see God. That's just the way it is. They're looking to the adults for the cues of life. The adults tell them when to go to school, when to go to PE, when to go to lunch. And everything works out. So if it ain't broke, why fix it? Well, when it's time to believe God, when you talk about the ways of God and people don't read his word, they don't have a reference for who he is. The only reference they have is the people that's helping them every day. So if you're raised by foolish parents, let's put it this way. Some people are, they mean well, but they're stingy. The parents are, you know, they have good jobs. For whatever reason, they don't like to spend money. And they always buy the cheapest thing so that their focus is on saving in which way they can. And they try not to pay money for anything. When people are like that, everybody that know them know it. They know they're stingy. Well, when the child's birthday come around, instead of buying them a nice new bicycle, they go get a used bicycle, you know. Well, as the child grows up, they know their parents have means. They figure out their parents have means, but they just don't share. Now it's time to believe God, who is generous. Now, it's going to be a challenge for them to believe God is generous because of the ways of the parents. The parents put up this false firewall. And it gets ingrained in your heart. They have revelation knowledge of the wrong way of living. And, you know, some people may be lazy. So when God gives them something to do, they expect God to be just like their parents. God is not like their parents. The only way to get a true revelation of who God is to receive his word. When you receive his word, you can break down every firewall or every barrier that was set against you from the world. Satan don't want you to know God. That's why people act the way they do. He's trying to do everybody like that, not just the people who hate God, but the people who love God. He tried to give them false traditions. Seducing spirits do this to people. The Lord told me, I used to wonder for years, why didn't pastors get on board with following God according to his specifications? They always did it according to their specification, which included the firewalls that were set up against them. And he said it was because of seducing spirits. The Lord was trying to clue them in on something. It was up to them to go take it to prayer. Now, I couldn't take it to prayer for them. You have to receive your own revelation. I couldn't just tell them what to do. I never told them what to do. Never. I showed them what God gave me. God said, if you follow me, this would happen. If you don't follow me, this would happen. And it was much worse. I didn't try to show them how to run their ministry, but sometimes I think people took it that way. But I don't remember doing that. I remember talking about following God. And if God put something on my heart, I'd share it in the name of God, not me. Because I don't know what people need of myself. You have to take things to prayer. But see, in the modern age, people, or some churches don't even have a prayer room. I happened to go to a church, they had a dedicated prayer room. You could go there whenever you felt like it. And if you didn't have keys to the church, the pastor would open. He lived across the street. You could always go pray. And he was available. So people could go pray if they wanted to. Now, I used to clean up the church, so I had keys to the church. So it's a blessing to be, you know, to have assignments and things. My pastor said, Pastor McCann said that when they move a ship off dry dock, once they get it moving, if you're doing something, God can easily steer you in the way you should go. Once they get that big old ship moving, it's easy to get it steered into the place they want it. Well, if you're doing something, God uses what we have. I had the keys to the church because I would clean it up. So I went and I would go in the prayer room. I knew how to turn on the alarm and everything. So what I'm saying is this. You can't do these things without revelation. You can't get revelation. It's hard to get revelation. You can get revelation without a prayer room, because God can just tell you when he sovereignly desires to. But most things got to start with you. You got to draw near to God. You have to have a relationship. If you don't have a relationship, none of this is going to work right. You know, I used to love to watch NCIS, especially when Ziva was on there. Now, Ziva, if you watch the show, she was a Jewish Mossad officer or agent. Her dad was her boss. But Jenny, who used to be over the NCIS, she was the director. I'm trying to make a short story out of this. Ziva saved Jenny's life, or helped her on an assignment, and she remembered her. And she suggested that she become a liaison officer. So as long as she was working for her father, she could be an officer stationed in NCIS. They worked it out that way. Well, Ziva eventually left because she felt like she was not treated right or something. And then she realized that you know, Gibbs was right. She wanted to come back. They saved her life in the Horn of Africa. So she comes back. Now she wants to be an officer again. Now Vance is the director. But this is where I'm going with this. She wanted to be an officer. He said, do you have a relationship with your father? Now her father happened to be the director of Mossad, according to the TV show. And then he said, do you have a relationship with your father? Have you even spoken to your father? Because Vance knew that they weren't talking. And if she was not a Mossad officer, she could not be a liaison officer, and she couldn't work for NCIS unless she got a visa and became a citizen. So he said, have you even spoken to your father? Do you have a relationship with your father? He said, you're damaged goods. So he couldn't use her, and he couldn't let her come back, even though she was a highly skilled officer, and he knew it. But she didn't have a relationship with her father. She broke protocol. The point is this, don't break protocol. You cannot do ministry without a relationship with your father. And the revelation that you receive, you won't be able to use it right without a vibrant relationship with your father. Because as you try to handle the holy things of God and the revelation that God give you, Sometimes you need more instructions just to do it. The enemy will use the firewalls that are already there against you. And what I mean by firewalls, the barriers, the limitations in your heart and mind, it takes the Holy Spirit to break that, to help you break that, to see it for what it is and break it down. Before I could proceed in many things of God, I had to destroy. I couldn't just receive revelation. I had to go and tear down the barriers in my mind and in my heart, the doubts, the unbeliefs. I had to get a full revelation of God's way of doing things. And he showed it to me in the Word, systematically, over time, continually. And then I saw for what it was, and I could believe God and operate in faith. See, anybody can be skilled in operating in faith, but everybody can't be skilled in introducing revelation by faith and operating according to the revelation that God has given them by faith. If you have a limitation, a doubtful limitation somewhere, you will not proceed. And sometimes it requires you to trust God. In order for God to speed things along, sometimes you got to believe him just because he said it, even though you can't see it or understand it. Some things you will not, you know, it's too big. The only way you can pull it off is to do what God say do at that time, at that moment, right here, right now. Many times that was the case. And I call that the Rebecca choice. You know, Abraham's servant came to Laban's house and Bethuel's house, and Laban was her brother, but he came to Bethuel's house to get Rachel to be Isaac's wife. But Abraham said, if the damsel decide not to come, you don't go back. So her father said she could go. That meant her brother had nothing to do with it. Well, the next day, they got to talking about it. They tried to get her to wait 10 days for whatever reason. But then the damsel, they said, well, let the damsel, it got down to the damsel. And I believe the whatever happened was so that the damsel could make up her own mind. Is she going to go with this stranger to marry Isaac, then she never met him before, or stay in her comfort zone? And she trusted the messenger and all that he said. She said, I will go. She didn't have a revelation, a full revelation of what she was getting into. But she followed the peace. If you can follow the peace, always follow the peace of the Holy Ghost. Follow the peace. You don't have to know everything to master, to come to a point where you master the revelation that God has given you. But you have to follow the peace. You have to pay attention and desire the clues God give you. You're already fully equipped. We covered that in the last two broadcasts. You're equipped. You're fully loaded. The Holy Spirit will guide you. If you follow the peace, sometimes you just have to trust God on some things. The pastors that failed, they were not hypocrites. They were trying to do that. I believe they were trying to do right, but they trusted what they understood more than, and they didn't have enough revelation of what God was doing. Because all you have to do, if the Lord went out of his way to bring you something, it's, you got to understand it's important. All I wanted them to do is go to the prayer room and say, Lord, you sent Thurston over here with this message. Teach me about it. Show me about it. I want to know why he came. I want to know, you know, sometimes the Lord see what you're doing. He already know the better way to do it. He know what he calls you to. You're trying to please him with what you already know, and it's not enough. And you mean business. These guys, when I give them the word, they did more of what they thought was best. That's why I said they tried to follow God according to their specifications, their parameters. God wanted to shatter their parameters and specifications and show them his way. See, you can't build a house if the Lord don't build a house. They labor in vain, and they ended up laboring virtually in vain. The only thing they did right was preach the word, and people got healed and blessed. I got healed from them. I got blessed. These, you know, they had gifts. They were good pastors. They weren't hypocrites, but they failed because they didn't learn and follow the protocols of God to according to his specifications. And that's a requirement. Now, in Acts, I love the word of God. Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now watch this. Saul was noted last. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. See, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. They started ministering to God. They were in the prayer room. I don't know another formula. You can study what they wrote about and preach it, but see, God, if you follow him, he'll give you a protocol, a plan that will work. He will send you to where you will be effective. With the anointing, you have his ability. The anointing is a sanction that gives you God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. And that's what he told me the definition of the anointing is. I said, "Lord, what is your definition of the anointing?" He said, "It's a sanction that gives a man or a woman that represents maturity, not age. It's a sanction that gives a man or woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task." With that, there are protocols. What are protocols? That's the order of God. And, you know, the Lord may say, this is like my pastor said the other day, you know, Sunday. He said, sometimes the Lord have him lay hands on the sick. Sometimes he have him to drive out the sickness, rebuking it. Sometimes he have them to counsel people. Sometimes he have to tell them what to do. Sometimes he give them a prayer cloth. He don't know why, but the Holy Spirit directs him. If you're doing work and the Holy Spirit never directs you, something's wrong. There are protocols that I have to go by. There are things that I don't tell people because I can't give that away under the direction of God. I know more about this ministry than I let on because God gave me protocols. He gave me revelation knowledge. I can't tell people that. I tell people what God sanctioned me to tell them. And I show people what God sanctioned me to show them. See, obedience activates the anointing. And sometimes people are so self-willed, they go beyond and break protocol. Rebecca didn't break protocol. She followed the peace. She went on what she had to go on. Sometimes you have to go on what you have. The peace. Go on the peace. I love Steve Quayle. The Lord gave him a Joseph's ministry, and he does it well. He's dedicated. And I like to listen to him every day if I can. But sometimes if I got a lot to do, if you listen to him, you have to listen. And because he give, you know, his broadcasts give a lot of information. But he keeps the protocol God gave him. And I like that. Henry Grover did too. They didn't do things without God's approval. But he always say, don't just take my word for it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He say that more than anybody. And that ain't flattery. He hates flattery. I do too. Flattery is deceitful. I listened to Joseph Prince about talk about how people use flattery. They're praising people, but they don't really mean it for whatever gain they can get. That's phoniness. I don't like that. I love people. Everybody that helped me see Jesus clearer, I love them. I thank God for them. Everybody that's doing what God told them to do, I don't care how big or small it is. I have been blessed by people that's known and unknown, famous and not famous. But I thank God for every single one that helped me receive the clues I need. Some things were pivotal. And they may not have realized. They may have forgotten about it. But it works. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. And he will be with you forever. And he will always be with you to help you. So take things to the Lord in prayer. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our wonderful Lord. Stay in victory.